Okay, let's dive in. Today we are talking all about snow sculptures. And I know what you are thinking, snow sculptures. Really? But stick with me because it is not as simple as it looks, right?
Not at all. And today's deep dive starts with a children's story. But you will see that even something as simple as a children's story can teach us about science.
Yeah. For example, the story talks about this neighborhood snow sculpture competition. And of course, as kids do, they just kind of jump right in. They do not stop to think about strategy.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And so, of course, their first snow sculpture totally flops.
Well, and the story kind of highlights what happens when you do not consider the science behind snow, because the kids are using this dry, powdery snow. And, I mean, it is fun to play in, but it is not very good for packing. Right?
Yep, makes sense.
And the reason for that is because of what the snow is actually made of. You know, if you think about it, snow is just ice crystals. But there are these really intricate crystals, you know, that can be shaped like stars or needles or plates. And when it is really dry, they do not stick together well.
So what they need is the wet, sticky snow, right?
Exactly. That is the key. Wet snow has those same crystals, but since they have started to melt just a little, the edges get rounded and they can pack together much more tightly.
Huh. So, like, imagine trying to build something with dry sand versus wet sand.
Yeah, a perfect analogy.
So, like, I am guessing that ideal sculpting snow can be different depending on where you are, you know?
Oh, absolutely. The type of snow you get can vary so much from place to place. Like, take coastal regions, they often get what is called dendritic stellar snow, which is known for its complex structure, and they also get lake effect snow, which is super fine and powdery.
Oh, that's right. But even though those coastal areas have lots of humidity, that dendritic snow, because of its shape, it tends to clump together, so it is still great for packing.
Right, exactly. So you can still make incredible snow sculptures.
Okay, so our team in the story, they finally figure out this whole wet snow thing and start making progress on their snow dragon. But then, of course, disaster strikes and the tail breaks off.
Classic.
Yeah, I probably would have just tried to, like, I don't know, pack more snow on like a bandage or something.
I know, right? But the thing is, that can actually make it worse because you are just adding more weight. And in the story, they actually end up using a trick based on a really cool scientific principle.
Oh, let me guess. It involves melting then refreezing.
Exactly. You are catching on. They smooth out the broken edges and let them refreeze in the cold air. And what happens is when the ice melts a little and then refreezes, those water molecules form even stronger bonds. It is like they weld together.
Ah, so a little bit of melting and refreezing is like the secret weapon for snow sculptors.
It really is. And it is all thanks to something called hydrogen bonds. They act like tiny magnets, holding the water molecules together.
So are you saying that professional snow sculptors use this trick too?
All the time. They will actually spray their sculptures with water to smooth things out and make the structure stronger.
That is amazing. And of course, in the story, the kids win the whole competition because they figured out how to work with the science of snow instead of against it.
Exactly. It is such a good reminder that science can be found everywhere, even in something as simple as a snow sculpture.
Okay, but I am curious about something. We talked about the right kind of snow and the melting and refreezing. But what about other things? Like, would temperature affect things? You know, like, if the temperature changes a lot during the day, would that make the sculpture weaker?
You are hitting on a really important point. Temperature swings can definitely cause problems for snow sculptures. Like, if it warms up a little during the day, the surface starts to melt a bit. And then when it freezes again overnight, you end up with these weak of bonds, which can make the snow crack.
So it is like not just about picking the right snow, but also about thinking about how the environment can change it over time.
Right. Like if it is sunny and the angle of the sun is hitting your sculpture directly, it will melt it faster. And then, of course, there is wind. Wind can totally mess things up. It can knock a snow sculpture right over, especially if it has a lot of delicate parts.
So it is almost like you have to think like an engineer when you are making a snow sculpture.
Absolutely. Like you have to think about where you are putting it and how you are designing it and what kind of weather it is going to have to withstand.
This is making me want to sign up for the next snow sculpting competition in my town. I need to practice all this stuff.
It is so much fun. And it is a great way to learn about science.
Definitely.
And you know what? Here is something else for everyone to think about. What else could affect how long a snow sculpture lasts? Could it be things like, I do not know the angle of the sun or maybe the landscape around it? There is a whole lot to discover about snow.
That is so true. Who knew that there was so much to know about snow sculptures?
It is definitely more than meets the eye, and that is what makes it so cool.
Well, thank you so much for diving into this with me today. I learned a lot about snow sculptures and about the science behind them.
It was my pleasure. And for everyone listening, until next time, keep on learning.
Bye, everyone.